Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me for the first time Trey Wasser. He's the president and CEO and a director of Ely Gold Royalties. Trey's career includes being president and director of research for Pilot Point Partners that gave him over 33 years of brokerage and venture capital experience, and he has spent 20 years as a corporate finance specialist with Merrill Lynch, Kidder Peabody, and Payne Webber. Trey specialized in equity and debt restructuring and cash management. So with that kind of background, it's not hard to understand that his current role in forming and managing Ely Gold Royalties is a natural fit. And indeed, since its inception, that company has richly rewarded shareholders. The shares have risen from around 20 cents or so in Canadian money earlier this year to over a dollar in February before getting trimmed back here to around 70 cents earlier today when I looked at the market. It was trading around 70 cents in Canadian money. Not so bad compared to many of the other companies that I follow in the junior gold mining space with the carnage that's taken place over the last few days in the equity markets. Ely trades in Toronto. ELY is the symbol. You can buy it down here in the States, as I have, under ELYGF. 113 million shares at 70 cents, giving it a market cap of around Canadian $80 million. While early shareholders have done very well with Ely Gold, the key question for investors who understand the value of investing in gold and silver royalties companies is what kind of growth path might shareholders anticipate going forward with Ely? And so I'm really pleased to have Trey with us to answer that question and more. Thanks for joining me, Trey.
Thanks for having me, Jay.
Really good to have you, and especially it's good to have someone that hasn't had a total bloodbath in this recent days, which the gold shares have gotten taken down along with all the rest. In fact, a lot of the more speculative juniors have been taken down as hard or harder than the Dow Jones, I must say. So, Trey, until the last few years, gold shares in general, the last few days, gold shares in general have performed very well. But yours have outperformed most other junior companies, and perhaps more importantly, as I just noted, Ely has done relatively well, or has fared relatively well in these recent days. How do you account for the good fortunes that Ely has offered its shareholders compared to most junior share gold companies?
Well, Jay, I think there's a few things. As you pointed out, over the last year we've had a rising gold price at our back. What really has changed for us in the last 12 to 18 months is two things. We brought on two high-profile institutional investors in Rick Rule and Eric Sprott, and we've also been expanded our business plan to include buying, producing, and near-term producing royalties. And as we've made those acquisitions of near-term producing royalties and producing royalties, the market has really responded. And being a junior company and in that, as you pointed out, $80 million market cap, these transactions in royalties that might be producing $1 million, $2 million a year in revenue for us, every one of those moves the needle at our market cap.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Rick Rule. Are there some other notable investors?
Eric Sprott, I mentioned as well. Eric Sprott.
And Rick
Rule.
Those
are the two institutional investors that got involved, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, one of the factors that caused me to add Ely to my newsletter was the fact that unlike some of the other startup royalty companies, you seem to have managed to acquire producing properties or properties that are very near production, so you actually have some cash flow early on. I know another royalty company that I had covered for a while, they're looking out 2, 3, 4 years before they start to see cash flow. Can you talk about your business model perhaps and what your criteria are for getting involved as a royalty company with these different projects?
Well, yes. Historically, Jay, we've been prospectors, primarily in Nevada and western United States, where we have been acquiring and staking properties. And rather than joint venturing those, we a few years ago started with a royalty business model where we sell those properties and retain royalties. So we have several royalties that are, you know, more on the exploration and development side, but those are royalties that we didn't purchase. We actually got paid through the property sales and generated revenue there. And then, as I said, we've purchased a couple of producing royalties. We just announced a deal to purchase a 0.5% net smelter royalty on the producing Jerritt Canyon mine. That's going to produce about $1.5 million a year in revenue. We also purchased a net profit interest on the Rawhide mine and a NSR on the newly producing the mine that just went into commercial production by Gold Resource Corp called Isabella Pearl. So we've because of our contacts, we've managed to find these royalties that are, you know, currently producing revenue, and it's really given us a leg up and the cash flow to then do some deals that that might be producing in a year or two. They purchased one on the Fenelon property that Wallbridge is having incredible success with up in Quebec. That's our one Canadian asset. Mm-hmm. And then a recent purchase that we announced on the producing Marigold mine. The deposits that on the claims we purchased will start producing in 2022. And also on the Wren mine, which is a large deposit at the Goldstrike complex for Barrick. And we expect that to be producing possibly as early as 2022 as well. So we've got a nice pipeline with our producing royalties, a pipeline of things coming on stream in 2021 and 22. And all of that revenue is then also complemented with our property sales, where we, you know, sell the properties and also generate a royalty.
To sell the properties, do you have a criteria for selling the properties? I mean, how do you know what to sell, when to sell it, and do you do a certain amount of exploration work yourself, or do you leave that totally to others?
We leave that totally to others. We are strictly prospectors. We have a leg up in Nevada with we have Jerry Bachman, who runs our Nevada subsidiary, has been prospecting for over 35 years, staking properties, acquiring properties, selling them, and retaining royalties. He successfully sold a royalty company that actually ended up at Frontier and then Newmont, and now is with the Cisco Royalties. And we also, one of our directors, Bill Sheriff, has also 35 years out there. So prospecting, staking properties, retaining royalties, also was successful creating and selling a royalty business. So we've got a top-notch team with all of their data over 35 years, and we generate some quality properties. And for that reason, our partners, the people that we're selling, the companies we're selling these properties to, are literally the who's who of operating and exploration companies in Nevada.
Yeah, name some of those, if you would. I think you mentioned...
I mentioned Gold Resource Corporation, McEwen Mining, Premier Gold Mines, Integra, Barrick, and of course the joint venture interest. With the Marigold, that'll add SSR mining. We have a near-term producing property with Coeur. So we've, literally the who's who, as I say, of the producers and majors and mid-tiers operating in Nevada and the western United States.
Yeah, having good partners is obviously an essential thing, and you certainly do have some premier partners, no doubt about that. Can you give us some sense of what you might be looking at in terms of cash flow over the years? I know you can't really, it's a forward-looking statement, and you can't really say, but you'll have some cash flow this year, right?
Well, look, we had we did just under $4 million in revenue last year, Mm-hmm. And keeping in mind that we operate like a royalty company, and one of the essentials of a royalty company is a very low overhead. So
right.
Jerry and I are actually the only two full-time employees at the company. Mm-hmm. We have a office in Reno, and we share office space in Vancouver for our corporate office. So our burn rate is right about $500,000 a quarter mm-hmm. on a cash basis. So mm-hmm. In this year, we're looking on the books right now from our producing royalties and our contracts of our property sales. We're starting out the year with about $4 million in revenue. We'll add on to that this about $1.5 million from the Cherokee Canyon royalty. Mm-hmm. And then with our normal property sales we do throughout the year, I think we're probably looking at about somewhere in the $6 million revenue this year, growing to 8 to 10 next year. And with these new acquisitions, I think we'll be up in the 12 to $15 million in revenue by 2022.
Well, you've got a very low burn rate right now. As you grow, though, it's going to be hard to keep that at $500,000 a quarter, I suppose. Anyway.
Well, you know, not really, because the beauty of both our of the royalty business is, you know, we don't do any of the exploration. We don't do any of the heavy lifting of the operating. Mm-hmm. Once you have that royalty, it's like being a bondholder. You're just basically clipping a coupon, getting a percentage off the top of the sales at the mine. So, you know, our and that's that just doesn't require a lot of back office work. The And we also manage our sale portfolio, our properties that are being sold, or the same way, by doing the royalty model and just selling the properties on a 100% basis. We're not involved in any JV meetings or anything like that. Once we sell the property, all we do is send them an invoice. So it's really a cash business. What takes the time and our energy is for Jerry finding the properties and for Jerry and myself finding these royalties that are for sale from third parties.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, royalty companies generally get much higher multiples in the market than, say, the producers. Give us an idea what sort of multiples that a good royalty company, a streaming or royalty company, might get.
Well, yeah, it's a kind of a tiered system.
Sure.
You have and now I'm talking about precious metal royalties here, Jay.
Right.
You know,
yes.
when we talk about this right. group, and of course with Ely, you know, not only are we focused in Nevada, the number one mining jurisdiction, but we are almost entirely focused on gold. Some of the other streaming companies will be, you know, have some silver and some base metals, but generally it depends on size. So your three largest royalty companies, the Franco-Nevada, Royal Gold, and Wheaton Precious Metals, they're now, you know, I'm quoting some numbers here before this, the market pulling back, but trading at over 25 times cash flow. And really over two times net asset value, and mm-hmm. And then in the mid tier companies that maybe have more development kind of royalties and not as big of a portfolio, that Sandstorms and Mavericks and that half a billion to a billion plus market cap. They drop back a bit. They'll be 1.5 times net asset value and maybe around 20 times cash flow. And then mm-hmm. down in the junior space where we are, you know, of course, you value those companies a lot more on the blue sky and what that portfolio is going to look like a couple years out and saying, you know, what, and that's where you have to look at us and, you know, apply those multiples to the cash flow that'll be coming in 2021, 2022, and a lot of blue sky involved in the valuation there.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of your peers in the junior space, Abitibi, Metalla, and yourselves. And it looks like you're the only one. Well, I guess Abitibi has one producer. Metalla doesn't have any at this point in time, and this was from pretty recent data. And you have three. So
yeah. Metalla has two streams that are producing. So would be fair to them. But yeah, on the royalty side, I think we're about equal to. Are currently with this last acquisition we made. I think Metalla has around 45, 46 royalties. We're up around 42. Mm-hmm. And Abitibi, I think, has a total of about 28. So, you know, on a revenue basis, we're about the same. Metalla showed a little bit higher revenue last year. But a chunk of that was one-time gain. So I think, you know, we're very similar on the operating, and you know, it's up to the investor, of course, to look at those portfolios and see who's going to look stronger as time goes on and projects come online. You know, I think even today with the adjustments in the prices and everything, we're still selling at a fraction, less than half of Metalla's market cap, and right around half of Abitibi's, I believe.
Yeah. No, it looks very favorable. That's for sure. What should investors really be watching for? Do you have any news coming down the pike that they should really have their eyes on? And as you start to perform, what might be the share drivers they should be focused on?
You know, one share driver for us, I won't come out as news, but of course you just pointed it out, that comparing us to some of the other, our peers in the junior space, we think we still are undervalued there and should be re-rated in the market. But as far as news flow, we have a lot of it because we're doing deals all the time, either on the property sale side or the royalty side. So, for instance, this year we set out with a goal of buying four producing or near-term producing royalties, which is what we purchased last year. And as it stands now, in the first 2 months of the year, we've purchased four. Ah. So we're certainly going to beat that, and we're just going to keep buying these producing royalties as opposed to. Where the beauty of our model is those longer-term exploration development royalties, we don't spend shareholders' money for those. We create those through our sale portfolio and actually get paid while we're doing that. So we're able to save all our money for the producing royalties. And at this stage, like I said, at our market cap, when we can go out and buy the quality of royalties like this Wren and Marigold, on big producing mines. I mean, I would point out to your listeners that the Wren royalty we just purchased, operated by the joint venture Barrick and Newmont, it's right in the middle of their complex at Goldstrike that's produced over 50 million ounces. That just has potential to be a home run for us.
All right, Trey, unfortunately, we're out of time. You got a lot to look forward to. I'm really going to be watching carefully and keeping our listeners and my subscribers appraised of what's going on. This is an exciting time, and I think a good time to take a look at your shares, given the fact they've been trimmed back a bit with this market turmoil. Thanks so much for being with us, and we'll look to do it again sometime in the future.